LSU!
Saúde, boa, tchau.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiger's Den.
Woo! Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Don't Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. I am pumped this week. We got a lot of stuff going on around LSU, a lot of stuff going on in the athletic program, some big news going on this week, and I am here for it and pumped about it. It has been a rainy week, but we are not going to let the rain and the bad weather get us down. That's Paul Maneri's job. That's not the weather's job. Paul Maneri gets us down, not the rain. So we're not going to let it get us down. It is Wednesday that I'm recording.
Hump day.
So happy hump day to everybody. Whether you're listening to us on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, still want to wish you a happy hump day. So, anyway, and happy Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, if those are the days you're listening. So, hope everyone is doing well. I'm doing great. It's been a good week so far. It's been a good week for some LSU news. So, let's get into it with some LSU football. Big news coming out of Baton Rouge LSU football this week. LSU has landed Georgia transfer defensive back Major Burns. That's an awesome name, man. Major Burns, especially for like a DB. Actually, probably better if he was a wide receiver. He could like go on a deep route and just toe somebody and be like, "You just got Major Burned." I don't know. He is a defensive back. He'll probably be playing safety. And look, he's a transfer from Georgia. He played there last year. He played in 3 games, I believe, last year. He is actually from Baton Rouge, so he's returning home. He was originally committed to LSU, decommitted kind of at the last minute, and ended up at Georgia. I think Kirby Smart probably kind of sold him a bill of goods or something. And you know, it didn't pan out the way I guess Kirby Smart said it would. So he decided to jump out and come back home. So LSU had 1 scholarship spot, I believe, left. And this guy filled it. He's going to be a great addition to the room, to the safeties. I don't know if he'll start. He probably will start some games. He'll definitely get playing time one way or the other. You got a couple other guys in there that, you know, might push for slots. But, hey, you know, increased competition is always good. When you can raise the level in the room, raise the competitive level, it's always good. You can't hurt yourself. You can never have too many DBs either because there's always injuries. So we got him, which is just awesome. It really is, and look forward to seeing him once school starts and once fall starts. Look, hey, another reason I'm excited, we're about 15 weeks, I think if my math is correct, 15 weeks from the start of the LSU football season, September 4th. It was announced this week that the first game, September 4th, versus UCLA, will be at the Rose Bowl, and it will be a prime time game on Fox. So that's awesome. Sucks that you have to wait all day to see it, but it's good that it'll be in prime time on September 4th. I want to say the other day I saw a tweet that said it was 110 days, so I think we're down to 108 days. I think that was Monday. So about 108 days away, 15 weeks from this Saturday. Man, I'm jacked. I'm excited. I can't wait to have a full crowd in Tiger Stadium. Get to go to some games, go to tailgate. It's something that was definitely missed last year. You know, I don't know. Obviously, the crowd has a huge effect on games, especially in places like Tiger Stadium. It has huge effects for the visiting team, and it gives it a huge emotional boost to the home team. We finished 500 last year. Could we have won more games possibly if we had full stadiums? I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I'm not saying it was, definitely going to happen, but it could have. You could have had a couple more false start penalties that could have cost somebody your game or something. It's just the crowd plays a factor. And it didn't just affect, obviously football. It affected basketball, baseball, thankfully. They're up to 100% capacity, no masks. So I'm just really looking forward to football season. And we'll get into all of that and more as we get closer, when over the summer, the practices, and then when school starts back up, man, we'll be right there. So only about 15 weeks, I think 108 days till some LSU football. And obviously the first game's a road game at the Rose Bowl. And we talked before, UCLA is a good team. An interesting way to start. It kind of reminds me of the national championship year when we played Texas the first game. We kind of right out the gate, we're playing a good team, and that was the game that Joe Burrow, made that third down pass, and it was all uphill from there. So maybe we can get some magic going again on the West Coast, whoever the quarterback is. I don't know. Maybe it's Max Johnson. Maybe it's Miles Brennan. Maybe we'll see. But whoever it is, I just hope that they bring the juice and bring the energy. I know they will. You get a victory on that first game of the year. So I am very pumped and very excited. Back again, that is a huge get for LSU, getting Major Burns. I still love that name. That's just an amazing name, Major Burns. Oh, I want to salute every time I hear it because it's Major Burns. But anyway, so that's it for LSU football. That's all I got for right now. I'm just really excited about just thinking about the prospect of having a full Tiger Stadium. It's funny. The other day I was driving and I pulled up on YouTube. I pulled up Neck on the YouTube on YouTube and I was just listening to it. And they had like a bunch of different videos of the LSU band playing Neck and "Hey, ooh, suck that tiger dick, bitch." And I was just bumping in the car. And I swear I probably sat and watched those videos while I was driving. I was driving, I think, to Monroe, which is about where I'm at. It's about a 2 hour drive, I guess, hour and a half. I was just listening to it over and over and over and over and over. And I thought to myself, I could seriously sit here and listen to this like all day and just be pumped. And it just got me jacked. I'm so freaking ready for football season to get here. I'm ready to win some games. I really think last year was just an outlier season. And I really think that I'm expecting big things from LSU. I think we're going to jump back on the horse. Do we? I don't know. I don't know. Obviously the big game's going to be Bama. Pretty much with the SEC and just the way it's going, not just the SEC, but just college football in general. I mean, you got to go undefeated, and we're in the toughest conference in the league. So you can't get that one loss and still possibly make a playoff game for sure. It's just when you lose that game and who you lose it to and how bad you lose it, will kind of depend on where your rankings are once those playoff brackets come out. I know today I saw something on AFR. They were talking to Texas A&M athletic director was talking about that the current contract with the playoff, I think, runs for another maybe 2 or 3 years, maybe something like that. Maybe it's two. And that after it's over, he definitely sees expansion coming in the playoffs, whether it's, 6 or 8 teams. He thinks that 16 is obviously, I think, a little too many. But if you go 6 or 8, man, I could dig that. I don't think it will diminish the game at all. I think it'll make it more exciting, and it'll get maybe some other schools a chance to get in. And, with football, with any sports, anything can happen. So I look forward to them expanding the playoff system. That would be just truly amazing. So that is all I got for LSU football. We're going to move on to some LSU women's basketball. All right, I got two bits of quick news for LSU women's basketball. Two LSU players have entered into the transfer portal. Dominique Davis, 5'6 sophomore point guard from DeRidder, and Destiny Lombard, a 5'9 freshman guard from New Iberia. So just two things on that. Look, I'm not going to talk about last season with LSU basketball, women's basketball. They weren't great. I mean, the coach resigned, was probably going to be fired if she didn't resign. And, of course, we brought in Coach Mulkey. So, you know, the future's bright. You're going to have people transfer out. I mean, it's just, one, even if they hadn't gotten Mulkey, the way the transfer portal is now, you're just going to have people transferring. It's going to happen every year. It's going to happen in football. It's going to happen in basketball. It hasn't affected baseball, and I hope it doesn't, because I don't like affecting baseball. I mean, I guess it could be good or bad, but there's just so many moving parts with it. But anyway, for basketball, you're going to have people leave, and most of the people that leave are probably going to be people that don't think they're going to start and are looking to go somewhere where they can start. I have mixed feelings about the transfer portal, but before I get to that, a little bit of news. There's a Baylor senior guard, Moon Urson, who is a two-time Miss Louisiana Basketball and three-time LA Gatorade Player of the Year, Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year, while at Destrehan High School. She has entered the transfer portal. She was second last season in scoring at 2.6 points per game and had 5 double-doubles. So let's see if we can maybe put this together here. Let's do a little snooping, a little investigating as to why I'm talking about this and why we're talking about a Baylor player, you know, hitting the transfer portal. So she's from Baylor, where Kim Mulkey coached. Played at Baylor, where Kim Mulkey coached. She's from Louisiana, went to Destrehan High School, and now she's entered the transfer portal. So Mulkey came here from Baylor, from Louisiana. Could this girl end up here? If I'm a betting man, I'd probably say yeah. Why wouldn't you? You know, it's your senior year. You want to play for your coach that you've played for the past 4 years or 3 years. Probably 4 years. She probably has an extra year of eligibility because of COVID last year. So she's entering her fifth-year senior. She's from Louisiana. Her coach left to come to Louisiana. It makes sense to me to get her to come here. I'm sure Coach Mulkey is pushing hard. I mean, she was second, last season in scoring. So I definitely think she could end up at LSU. Hopefully we get her. More news to come on that as we get more news on it. Transfer portal. And I've talked about it a little bit on previous shows, but I have mixed issues on the transfer portal. And so part of me from the old school says, look, you went to a school, you committed to that school, you knew what you were going there for. You know, you could have rare circumstances where the coach said that this something was going to happen and it didn't happen, or he made promises that he didn't keep. I understand that and I get that. Those are probably outliers. Like, you know, probably it happens, but probably not as much as you think. Usually coaches, you know, at least once you finally commit, they're like, you know, a lot of them have the student athletes' best interests at heart. And I do believe that. And then when you go, you want to be able to compete. And to transfer almost makes me feel like you don't want to compete and you want to give up and you want to just go somewhere else where, yeah, maybe you have to compete a little bit, but the talent's not as good, so you're going to for sure be a starter. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is, look, you know, I'm trying to make it, depending on how good you are, obviously, you're trying to make it to the next level. You're trying to make it to the NBA or you're trying to make it to the NFL. And you want to be able to showcase your talents. And if you feel like you're not going to be able to do that, you know, do you leave and go somewhere else where you can do that? It's, I don't know. It's kind of, like I said, I'm kind of torn between it. If my kid were, you know, good enough to play athletics and wasn't starting on a team that maybe I thought they should be the starter, I thought they were being held back, then yeah, I can say maybe you should look at transferring. But whenever you transfer, it always seems like, I don't know. It almost seems like you're giving up on your team a little bit or giving up on yourself a little bit. Maybe you just need to work harder. Unless a coach is really, like, truly just holding you back for spite or holding you back because, I don't know, he just doesn't think you're good enough, then maybe I'd say, yeah, I don't know. I'm really torn on it. I have no decision-making process on the whole thing. Like, I have no, like, I lean one way or the other. I'm not pro-transfer portal. I'm not anti-transfer portal. My thing is, it's there. It is what it is. If I'm a school, obviously, I'm going to take full advantage of trying to get people who are in the transfer portal to come to me if I feel like they can fit a need and if they're a good fit for my team, then obviously, yes. From a student-athlete's perspective, And I say student athlete, it's also a parent's perspective too, because, you know, obviously a student athlete, more than likely they're, you know, 18, 19, especially, you don't see too many, you see some people later, early, you know, after they graduate, going to the transfer portal, like Jabril Cox or Joe Burrow. But a lot of them are younger, especially in basketball, a lot of them are younger. As a parent, I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't know if I'd want my kid to try to tough it out. I mean, these kids are going to go to their parents and say, what should I do? You know, they're going to ask their opinion. And ultimately, though, the kid will probably make the decision himself based on what he wants to do. But they're going to ask their parents. I don't know what I'd tell my kid. I really don't. Tell us what you think. Tell us what would you tell your kid if you had a kid that, you know, wasn't playing and thought they could go somewhere else and do better? You know, would you let them enter the transfer portal? Or would you tell them to stay put and work harder and try to tough it out and get a starting, you know, starting spot just by playing harder and working harder? So, you know, go on Twitter, tell us at Tiger_podcast. Let us know what you think. I'd be really interested to hear what some of your feelings are, because honestly, I'm at a loss. I really don't know what I would do. That's it on the LSU basketball, women's basketball. I am going to move on to some LSU baseball. Oh, put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. All right, so first the good news of LSU baseball. Gavin Dugas received SEC Player of the Week last week after batting .429 with one double, two homers, 8 RBIs, 5 runs scored, and a .526 on-base percentage in LSU's 4 games last week. So congrats to Gavin Dugas. He was actually the co-SEC Player of the Week. I don't know who the other person was, but he's the co. As we talked last week, LSU is still trying to get to that 13-game mark that they need in SEC play to try to make a regional. They helped their efforts this past weekend by taking 2 from Bama. So now in SEC, they are 11-16. They are 32-20 overall. So 11-16. So we're at 11 wins. We took 2 from Bama. The first game we won 2-1. Obviously it was a LSU won 2-1. Obviously it was a close game. Landon Marceau really pitched well. Well, let me say this. He got hit, okay? I mean, he gave up 11 hits. He pitched 6 in one-third inning. He got 11 hits against him, but he was able to pitch out of a lot of trouble. I believe I want to say Bama had 13 hits on the night and only scored one run. I mean, that's just insane to have that many hits and only score one run. They left a lot of runners on base. They just weren't able to capitalize and score runs. It was kind of a crazy game. LSU kept getting into trouble, but he kept pitching. Lamar So kept pitching out of it. Fontenot came in, pitched 2 2/3 inning, got the save. He gave up 2 hits, one run. He was able to, he got in a little trouble himself, but was able to get out of it. So the bats just weren't there for us, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously we only scored 2 runs. Cade Doty was 2 for 4. The most hits anybody else had was one. So it was a close game for sure. The second game of the series, LSU lost to Bama 5-6. Labus got the loss, I believe. Let's see. Yes, AJ Labus got the loss in that game. We lost 6-5. We were up 3-1, and in the third, fourth, fifth inning, Bama scored 2, 2, and 1 to get 6 runs. We did score 2 more in the bottom of the ninth to make it close on a home run, but I eventually came up with the loss. Let's see. Devin Gugas was 2 for 4. Dylan Cruz was 2 for 5. Giovanni Giacomo was 2 for 4. And let's see. Labus went 4 innings, eight hits, 5 runs. Coleman came in, did a really good job. He pitched 4 innings, gave up 4 hits, and then Vitmer came in and pitched 1 inning. So Coleman came in and really did a good job. That bullpen is going to be important just down the stretch, going into the last week of the season and into SEC play. Dylan Cruz hit a home run. Gavin Dugas hit a home run in that game. I'm sorry, Gavin Dugas hit 2 home runs in that game. The final game on Sunday, we won 13-5. LSU pretty much dominated this game. Let's see. I mean, after the third inning, we were up 8-2, and we just kind of went from there. I believe this was the game that Giacomo just went nuts. He had 2 home runs. He went 3 for 4 with 2 home runs. DeGiacomo had, I believe, one home run the whole. Actually, those are the first 2 home runs he's hit this year, and he only hit one, I think, last year. So for him to hit two was just like amazing, unheard of. It was a great pitching effort by Hilliard again. He has really stepped up into that third day starter role and has done a good job. If you watch him pitch, man, his curveball is just nasty. It is so hard to hit. I mean, it will start off at the brim of your cap and then just drop into a hole, and people can't hit it. They really can't. He's got a good fastball to complement it. But his curveball is by far his best pitch. He got the win. He's 5-0 on the year. He pitched 5 innings, gave up 3 runs, 4 hits. Garrett Edwards came in, pitched 2 innings, gave up 3 hits and 1 run, and then Floyd came in and pitched the final 2 innings and gave up 1 hit and 1 run. So we are at 11 wins in the SEC. LSU played last night against Northwestern State and lost 7-3. So a few things about this game. This was the first midweek game that LSU has lost all season. Helmers got the loss. He's 6-2. Let's see. Helmers threw 2 innings. Blake Mundy threw 1. Brady came in, didn't finish an inning. Michael Fowler threw 1. Milas threw 2. Vetmer threw 1. Aaron George threw 2 1/3. And Jacob Hasty threw 1 1/3. So we used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pitchers in this game. Man, none of them, we didn't use Coleman. We didn't use Fontenot. So we didn't waste some of our better pitchers. So that was good at least. But just to use a lot of pitchers like that in a game, just really. And we lost, you know, we lost Northwestern. And the reason, I mean, we lost, we just weren't focused. They were more dialed in than we were, and we were not focused on the game. Maneri, after the game, said, "It's my job to get the team ready. It's nobody's fault but my own. We got beat by a team that was more focused and ready to play than we were." You know, it's a midweek game. Sometimes they're hard to get up for. But we've got up for all of them this season. We've won every one of them. He also said, "I thought our kids knew how to prepare themselves and be ready to go. I think the weather the last couple of days, I didn't think they were truly going to believe we were going to play today." Yeah, you could tell our guys were not focused. You know, there was a lot of rain in Baton Rouge Tuesday, some flooding Monday night into Tuesday. And, you know, it could have been an issue where kids were thinking about their families or whatever with the weather. I don't know, but, and it's a midweek game, and I get that, but it's the end of the season. You really need every game you can get. Like, now is not the time to lose focus. And I sure as hell hope they get their focus back for Texas A&M. I think they will, because it's the last SEC, you know, series of the season. And, I mean, it's there. They have to take 2 out of 3 versus Texas A&M. And I can promise you Texas A&M will be ready. They want to play spoiler. If we don't come in focused, we are screwed. It's there for them to take. A&M is not the greatest team this year. They're not, I mean, they're kind of at the bottom, you know, maybe a little below us, but look, it's there. We have 11 wins. We got to take 2 out of 3. A sweep would be just great, cause we'd have 14 wins. If you get 14 wins, you pretty much guaranteed you'll make a regional. If you get 13 wins, you're going to have to go in an SEC tournament and win a ball game or two to make a regional. And you really don't want to, obviously you want to win an SEC tournament games, but you don't want to make it to where those games are must win. You have to win one or two. So take care of business this weekend, get 2 out of 3, get a sweep, and let's go. They need to get dialed in. They need to get focused. They got to forget about Northwestern, and maybe losing Northwestern's good. Maybe it will humble them. Maybe it'll humble them, and they'll go into Texas A&M focused. First game, tomorrow night, Thursday, 6 o'clock, ESPNU. Second game, Friday, 6:30, SEC Network Plus. And Saturday, 2 o'clock, SEC Network Plus. All games are at Texas A&M. This is it. This is your season. Either you're going to do it or you're not. It's make or break time. I'm pumped up for it. I know I'll be watching all the games this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I just hope we can do it. You know, I really am pulling for these guys. Even though I don't want Maneri here, I'm still pulling for the team to do well. And look, if they get swept or they only win one game, Maneri's gone. I'm sorry, but he's fucking gone. He better be fucking gone or I'm going to lose my shit. Okay? If they only win one of these games, Maneri needs to go. And if you get 12 wins, you basically would have to win the SEC tournament to make it to a regional. If LSU only gets one out of these games. So it's right there in front of them. All they got to do is go in and take these 2, maybe 3 games and focus in, dial in. You don't have any more midweek games. So use your guys. You know, SEC tournament comes around, you got to use your guys. SEC tournament starts May 25th through May 30th. So that will be next week. But you got to dial in here. You really, really got to dial in. So that is it for LSU baseball. I just disappointed they lost that game, but, you know, it is what it is. And it's Maneri's job to get them focused. And that's, he said it, and I agree. He says that pretty much after every loss. But just at the end of the season, you can't do that kind of shit. You really, really can't do that kind of shit. We'll see. Hopefully they get their shit together, and we can do it. So now we're going to move on to LSU gymnastics. I came to get down. I came to get down. So get down to seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up, jump up. A very, very, very exciting announcement out of LSU gymnastics this week. And exciting and surprising because I did not. First of all, I didn't know this could happen. And even if I knew this could happen, I didn't think this could happen. But because of COVID this year and the shortened season last year, everybody from this year's team who were seniors were granted another year of eligibility to return as fifth-year seniors. We had six seniors that were graduating. Christina Desiderio, Reagan Campbell, Sammy Durante, Sarah Edwards, and Bridget Dean, and Olivia Gunter. Five out of the six are returning to the mat this season, next season, to compete for LSU. That is just freaking huge. Reagan Campbell, Bridget Dean, Christina Desiderio, Sammy Durante, and Sarah Edwards all returning next year for their fifth season. I am just, this is just amazing that they're going to have this talent turning back, coming back. This team with the freshmen they had, having more experience with these seniors coming back for a fifth year, they could seriously make a run at a national championship this coming season. You got Christina Desiderio. She is awesome on the beam. She is awesome on the floor. Reagan Campbell is the absolute beam queen. She kills it on the beam every single time. Sammy Durante, queen on the uneven bars, can do the vault. Sarah Edwards, awesome on the vault, awesome on the floor. And Bridget Dean, awesome on the floor, awesome on the beam. We are going to have a freaking squad next year with these five girls coming back. I did not see it coming. I did not think they were going to come back. I didn't even think they had the option to come back. And the way they played it was, hey, we're all leaving. Like, you know, at the end of the season when that regional, you know, when that national tournament was there, national championship tournament was there, they're all hugging. They're all crying. You know, they were just like, this is it. This is our final go. You know, this is our last chance. And boom, all of a sudden, all of them are coming back. Now, look, had they won a national championship, would they come back? Probably not. But, bruh, now that they didn't and they announced they're coming back, like, I am seriously jacked up for next gymnastics season. I really am jacked up and excited about it. And I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing these girls back in action next year. That's all I got. I'm just pumped. I'm pumped about LSU football. I'm pumped about gymnastics. I'm pumped about the prospects of LSU baseball taking a series this weekend and getting to a regional. It's all good going on right now at LSU. We're hopefully getting some transfers for women basketball. LSU basketball is getting people in. I am just jacked up about some LSU sports, and I am ready for football season. I am so freaking pumped for football season. It's going to be a good season this year. I'm telling you, we're going to bounce back. We really, really are. I'm just very excited about it. So, that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Don't Patrol Podcast, the BSN Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, which a new episode just came out, I believe, yesterday. So go take a listen to that. And this show, The Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. Please give us a listen. Do give us a listen. Give us a listen. Get on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Hit me back with some feedback on the transfer portal. What would you do if your kid were in the, you know, thinking about entering a transfer portal after their first or second year in college? Also follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old fashioned way, go to don'tpatrolpodcast.com. Thank you all so much for all the listens. I greatly appreciate it. And we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack my tiger, stand right up and